that constantly wants us to sin and is no good. And Paul said it best, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. And it's part of us. You say, yeah, but I'm saved now. And praise the Lord, you're saved, and that's wonderful. But the battle, the thing that we fight and we should be fighting is this thing called our flesh. And we have to recognize that there's no good thing. When we're carnal, when we're fleshly, it's not going to be good. It cannot be good. And I talked about in my flesh I fail, in my flesh I faint, in my flesh I forget, in my flesh I fear, and in my flesh I fall. And tonight I want to talk to you about defeating the flesh. We go to Exodus chapter 17, defeating the flesh. Exodus chapter 17, I couldn't believe it yesterday. We did a little patriotic program for the Shepherd's Ministry yesterday, and I knew my voice was going to be challenged, and so I had David preach, and I could not believe that he preached my message tonight. Not the message, but he preached from the same passage. I think a lot of that is because we're thinking about war with Vacation Bible School. We are having Operation Gospel Storm, and the theme is Fight the Good Fight. And so we're looking up wars, and we're talking about wars and studying wars and all that. And you know, one of the biggest wars, we read about the wars of Jerusalem and Israel, and we're going to talk about a lot of those at Vacation Bible School. By the way, we have someone coming this year, Captain Courageous. He has signed on to come, signed a contract, he and Sergeant Slaughter, and it's going to be great. I just can't hardly wait for Vacation Bible School. Now that we know what's going to happen, well, you never know what's going to happen. But we're studying all these wars, and I came across the war with the Amalekites. And again, the Amalekites, to me, always have been a symbol of the flesh. And Amalek, of course, being descendants of Esau. Esau is just, what a picture of the flesh. I mean, Esau, who sold his birthright because his guts were growling. Can you imagine? You know, that's the kind of thing that our flesh will do. That's the kind of thing that our flesh will lead us into. I mentioned that this morning. Sometimes our flesh, we start thinking weird and we get desperate or we become impatient because of our flesh. And all of a sudden we're doing some foolish thing like Esau did when he sold his birthright. Well, he passed that on, if you will, to the descendants called the Amalekites. And the Amalekites, are as they attack God's people, it just makes me think about the flesh. And so I want to talk to you. Exodus 17 and verse 8, a familiar story. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. And so Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side, the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi, for he said, because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. And it reminds me of the old flesh. I mean, it seems like you get a victory in your life, and the next day your flesh is pulling on you to do something wrong. It's like you go to the altar and you get something right with God, and you get up from the altar and right there, you know, your flesh is getting you to think some wicked thought, getting you to think back about that sin and wondering, why did I go to the altar? And that flesh is there. And just from generation to generation, from day to day and week and month, and that battle that we have with our flesh. Now, I do want to remind you, as I said this morning, there are some folks, and not usually on a Sunday night, because Sunday night folks are really wanting maybe something from God and wanting to do something for God, but I suppose it's possible. There are some folks, though, that say, you know what? I like my flesh. and they live their life to please their flesh, and they really don't care about what God wants. They just want to please their flesh. If that is you tonight, you're probably not interested in what I have to say. You probably weren't interested in what I had to say this morning. Because again, the whole idea is, it is, as Paul said in Romans 7, he said, to will is with me. I want to do right, but I find myself not doing right. I want to obey God, but I find myself disobeying. I want to please God, but I find myself doing bad things. But I want to do right. Tonight, I urge you to start there. I really want to do right. I really want to please God. And if we start there, we can defeat our flesh. We'll have to do it every day. We'll have to do as Paul did. I die daily. We'll have to do that. But I want to show you something tonight from this passage about defeating the flesh. Father, bless the preaching. Speak to our hearts, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. The Amalekites were sneaky. The Amalekites were dirty. The Amalekites represent our flesh that is part of us. We have three enemies as Christians: the world, the flesh, and the devil. And when I say the world, I don't mean unsaved people. I'm talking about the cosmos, a world system that hates God. I'm certainly not talking about unsaved. They're not our enemies. They are people we're trying to win to Christ. But our enemies are the world, the flesh, and the devil. The world, of course, is that system that hates God. Well, we can recognize that as an enemy. The devil, we know he's our enemy. He's trying to seek who he can devour. But a lot of times we don't think about us. We don't think about our flesh. We don't think about our old nature and how the flesh is against our spirit. When we got saved, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in us, and the flesh is totally opposite. You've heard me say this many times, a little poem that I say, two natures beat within my breast. The one is foul, the other blessed. The one I love, the other I hate. The one I feed will dominate. I'm going to tell you, if you feed your flesh, it gets bigger. If you feed your spirit, it gets bigger. If you're not going to feed your spirit, your flesh will dominate your life. We must feed our spirit. And we'll talk about that. Galatians 5, we don't have time to turn there, and we've talked about it a lot. It talks about the works of the flesh are manifest, and all kinds of nasty things are mentioned there. Murder, adultery, fornication, all kinds of nasty things. That's when our flesh is manifest. That's if you just let your flesh do whatever it wants to do, it's going to do those kind of things, and hatred and all those kind of things. It's what I was before I got saved, but it's still what I am. It's my flesh. It's not a pretty thing. I said this morning. We go through the average day, and really, honestly, because of our flesh, we're filthy. Just an average day. Our thoughts, what we say, what we hear, what we see, where we go, what we do. You know, the average day, we're like we were Tuesday night when we worked on that carpet. We kind of stink, sweaty, dirty, nasty. We need a shower. Thank God. Thank God we can get a shower. Thank God we can be clean. Thank God we can go to him and ask him to forgive us of the flesh and how we failed. And if you think somehow you're strange because of that, remember, Paul is the one who said, I want to do right. But he said, oh, wretched man that I am. Oh, wretched man that I am. Again, this is a man who said, I want to do right, but I don't always do right. If you want to do right tonight, you can have victory and you can defeat the flesh. You think wrong thoughts, you do wrong things. The challenge here is to understand, how many times has the flesh messed us up? How many times has our flesh gotten us into trouble? And so, that's what I want to talk to you about. Number one, we see the flesh. Here we have Amalek, and I think it's a good picture. We'll look at some other verses talking about Amalek and the Amalekites. And I think they're a good picture of the flesh and a good picture of our sin nature as they attack God's people here. The sin nature is a part of us that wants to sin. It's a part of us that wants that old life back. It's a part of us that, like the children of Israel, it says, why came we forth out of Egypt? Come on, we used to have a lot of fun. It wasn't that much fun. I mean, it wasn't that much fun to be in Egypt, was it, to be a slave? It wasn't that much fun to be a slave to sin. Don't you remember before you got saved and how guilty you felt and how you knew you needed to be saved and you didn't know if you could possibly be saved? Oh, it's not that fun, but boy, that old flesh, it's just constantly trying to drag us back there. Usually, the flesh is noticed in our lives questioning God's ability to provide. God's ability to provide. You know, in verse 8, it says in chapter 17, back in Exodus, it says, then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. Then came, well, what happened before that? Notice the verse right before that. The question was asked, is the Lord among us or not? Where's God? It is your flesh is always challenging whether God's there or not. Your flesh is always challenging whether God can take care of you, God can provide for you or not. It is a favorite question for the flesh that, hey, God can't take care of you. In other words, need a thrill? God can't give. Do you understand? Boy, we were singing in choir practice, and just something about being back in the auditorium and just the room, everything. And we got to singing a song, and I mean, I got a thrill. Oh, you say, really? Did it have a rock beat? No, that wouldn't give me a thrill. That'd give me a sickness. No. It was about the glory of God. And I mean, it just thrilled my soul. I mean, it was like, woo! I was excited. But you see, the flesh says, oh, no. This can't be thrilling. The flesh says, you can't have a thrill at Vacation Bible School. You can't be thrilled in a fair ministry. You can't be thrilled on a bus route. The flesh says, you can't be thrilled singing those old-fashioned songs. The flesh says, you can't be thrilled where they have an altar call. No, you've got to get down for Jesus. You've got to rap with the rev. The flesh says, God can't meet that need. And so, you need a thrill? Well, try drugs. Need a thrill? Drink alcohol. You need acceptance? Smoke cigarettes with everybody. Join the rock crowd and all of that. Hey, the flesh says, you need love? Young lady, go find your boyfriend and commit immorality with him. That'll take care of your need. God says no. God says marriage is honorable and all and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers, God will judge. But the flesh has us convinced. Oh, no. If it feels good, do it. You know why? Because God can't provide. Oh, how many people have given in to the flesh in the area of immorality? David, you have a wife. Why do you need Bathsheba? Oh, well, because God can't provide. I need Bathsheba now. Why does a guy look at pornography? God can't provide. I need this now. Are you listening? Why do couples or people get on the internet and chat with someone who is not their spouse and talk about things they ought not talk about? I'll tell you why. Because the flesh has convinced them God can't provide. Why does a young lady marry the wrong guy? Because she's become convinced God can't provide. Why does a young man marry the wrong girl? Because the flesh has convinced them that God can't provide. You know what we do? We spend time after time with teenagers and young people in our Christian school and in our church trying to tell them, wait on God. Trust God. But that old flesh says, you need to get revenge on people who do you wrong. That old flesh... Oh, you say, God says I need to trust Him. Oh, no, He won't do anything. Trust God. Let God deal with all that stuff. Flesh, will convince us and tries to convince us that we can't wait for God. He won't provide. And Esau, the father of the Amalekites. Come on. What an example of the flesh. He hunts and he comes back and he smells his brother's soup. Unbelievable. And his guts are growling. Can you hear it? In my mind, I just think, and you know what? I'm starving. No, you're not. You're hungry. I'm going to die. No, you're not. You're just hungry. Oh, brother, could I have some of that soup? And Jacob says, I'll make a deal with you, brother. What a terrible deal. Do you know some of the most terrible deals you and I have ever made was because our flesh said God can't provide. We quit Bible college because God can't provide. Are you listening to me? We people do it all the time. Leave the mission field because we're convinced God can't provide. We quit the bus route because God can't provide. Oh, the list is endless of things we trash and throw out because our flesh has convinced us God can't provide. And a young person will throw away their purity because their flesh has told them, you can't wait. Yeah. We'll steal. We'll cheat. We'll do everything. Just like Esau. We look at Esau and say, what a dummy. The guy's crazy. How could he do that? He traded his birthright for a bowl of soup? Yeah. Yeah. And that's exactly what you do when you go to that website. You're trading your birthright for a bowl of soup. You're trading eternity, eternal blessings for something now. Amen. That's what we're doing. And as we feast on R-rated movies and nudity and griping and gossip and lying and chat rooms with people we ought not ever talk to, some of you folks, honestly, and it scares me to death that our young people are talking to people and, oh, he's a real cute guy. He's probably some 85-year-old pervert and he's got you convinced and you're going to mess up. I know somebody right now, cost them $1,500 because of somebody online said they were something they were not. We don't know what they were. You say, why would you? Flesh. Why did that person? Because of their flesh. You're such a wonderful person, the words said. Really? I have never talked to anybody so nice as you, the word said. Are you listening? Why would somebody fall for that kind of stuff? Flesh. Flesh. Remember the first email you got from Nigeria? I represent so-and-so Kubatu from such-and-such Nigeria. And so-and-so Kubatu has died and wants to leave you $5 million. And I looked at that and I said, Lord, you know I'd tithe. Huh? Why would we fall for that? You know why? Because of our flesh. You know why? Because we think we need it. Why do we think we need it? Because we don't think God will provide it. My God shall supply all your needs. Amen. The flesh is our enemy, just as Amalek was the enemy of the children of God. He is my old nature, and that's what's so tough. He's part of me. It's why this morning I preached about we need to recognize the biggest, one of the worst enemies. You say, I know the devil's out there, and I know the world's out there. By the way, that petition, that's against the world. It's not against people as far as it's against the cosmos. It's against the system that hates God. It's against a system that wants to. It's against the system that wants to say men and women aren't. They're the same. There is no distinction. God said there is. Amen. It's against the system that says that God doesn't know what he's talking about because he said that a man is to marry a woman. Yeah, that's what the petition. We recognize, okay, the world's bad, the devil's bad, they're wicked, they're vile, we'll fight that. But then the worst enemy we have maybe is what we take home with us. It's the one that reaches for the mouse and clicks on that site. It's the one that turns the TV on the channel. You know, it's the one that reads the material it ought not read and says the things it ought not say and hears the things it ought not hear. It's our flesh. In verse 15, the Bible says Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. What's that mean? It means God is my banner. God is my refuge. What's that mean? I've got to trust Him, or I will give in to my flesh. And my friend, you have got to trust God, or you will give in to your flesh. Number one is the flesh. Number two, we see the focus. And we have an attack here by Amalek, and we'll be looking at that. But go real quick to Deuteronomy 25 and verse 18. And there's something interesting here in this passage, and Dave did not mention this yesterday, so ha. Deuteronomy 25 and verse 18, it kind of gives a good description of our flesh as we think of Amalek. Deuteronomy 25 and verse 18. Verse 17, remember what Amalek did unto thee. By the way, it's referring back to this story in Exodus. Remember what Amalek did unto thee, by the way, when you were come forth out of Egypt, how he met thee by the way and smote the hindmost of thee, even all that were feeble behind thee, when thou wast faint and weary, and he feared not God. Now there you go. I mean, here's a good example of our flesh. It's sneaky. It's tricky. Therefore it shall be when the Lord thy God hath given thee rest from all thine enemies round about in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance to possess it, that thou shalt blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. Thou shalt not forget it. Again, here we see the focus. Okay, let's focus on what is this flesh doing. Notice what it's doing. First of all, the attack is from behind. In verse 18, how he met thee by the way and smote the hindmost of thee. The attack was from behind. It was where you're not expecting the attack. If you go back to Exodus, you'll find that there was a great victory, and then Amalek comes. I mean, God had given the people water from a rock. What a miracle. What a great thing God had done. And then, the Bible says, came Amalek. And you think, wow, we got this great victory. You have to understand, we have been building to get back in the auditorium. We've been building to get the drives paid. And a miracle has taken place. And money has come in. And all these things have happened. And I'm just watching. I mean, seriously, folks, watch over your shoulder because your flesh. Well, how could it happen? Look what we did. Well, we got things under control, don't we? You know, that's exactly what our flesh does. Look what I did. There's your flesh. You get the big promotion. You've been praying, oh, God, let me have this promotion or let me have this job. And all of a sudden you get that job, you get that promotion, and it's like, wow, God's so good. But a week later, I'm so good. Oh, it'll get us in trouble. Because your flesh sneaks up on you. It attacks you. It's not when you expect it. It's amazing how your flesh can attack right during church. Your flesh, do you understand? You can be singing. You can be singing up on the platform. You could be in the choir. You could be playing a piano. You could be playing your violin. And all of a sudden, your flesh says, you're good. Remember before you got up to sing? Oh, God, help me not to mess up. Oh, God, I need you. And now all of a sudden, you're good? Who said that? Huh? It's your flesh. Yeah, because about the time you start thinking you're good, you're not. You're not. Sneaky. The attack was from behind. The attack was when they were least expecting it. And all of a sudden, during church, our thoughts, our desires, Well, it's a guy, and he looks over at another woman. And all of a sudden, why are you thinking that way? You say, oh, that's terrible. It's wrong. That's what Paul said. But understand, that is you. That's your flesh. And by the way, a man who looks at pornography and watches that stuff and does that all the time, you have a hard time looking at a godly Christian woman and looking her in her eyes. Yeah, no wonder you kind of cower. And boy, I'll tell you what, you're headed for a rocky road. Huh? It's a sneak attack. It's like gossip in church. How can that be possible? How is it even possible? And all of a sudden, you're in a little group off in a corner somewhere, gossiping, griping, complaining. You know? Oh, it's innocent, quote, innocent conversation at work where a woman is telling another man about how bad of a husband she has. You see, it's sneaky. It's that little bit of flirting, you know? Well, I don't mean anything by it. Boy, I'm thinking of somebody right now. We don't mean anything by a couple of ladies. We don't mean anything. We kind of like it when men flirt with us. Married women, listen to me. Do you understand how that is your flesh? What are you wanting? Well, my husband never compliments me. I need some other. No, you don't. Here's what you need. You need to be faithful to your husband. Whether he compliments you, you don't need to fish for compliments from other men. That's your flesh saying, God won't take care of you. Yeah. Amen. Hey, Lot, you know what? It was Lot who the Bible says, read it in the scripture. He pitched his tent towards Sodom. Had he done anything wrong yet? He just pitched his tent. That means when he went in, when he went out, as he came out, he looked at Sodom. Maybe he backed in and he gazed at Sodom at night. And he started looking at it. Listen to me. It just starts with that look. It's always so innocent, but he pitched his tent and he saw Sodom, and then he pitched his tent towards Sodom, and then he moved into Sodom, and the next thing you know, he's as worldly as Sodom. And that's us. It can happen. It has happened to so many. Because our flesh, we got to focus, folks. We got to get focused and say, this is me. And I better be very, very careful. Notice also, not only did the attack come from the hindmost or from behind, but notice what else it says. It says, even all that were feeble behind thee, when thou was faint and weary. Notice, attacking the weak, the feeble ones. You know, do you understand? Your flesh knows your weakness. Because your flesh is you. You know, nobody else may know, but your flesh, it knows where to attack you. The weakness. That's what Amalek did. They attacked the weak, those that were feeble. The Bible talks about the sin which doth so easily beset us. You know what that is. You know what you ought not do. I canceled my sports magazine years ago because of that thing right there. Oh, Pastor, you wouldn't have any. I don't even want to know. Amen. I've canceled sports websites because of that very thing. Just get off of it. Hey, you know what? I want to check the score. I don't want to check anything else. And I don't want my flesh to even be exposed to that. Why? Because I'm feeble. Years ago, boy, some of I like to watch. And I can't see that well, but I can tell. We squirm a little bit. Years ago, I told my wife, I said, don't want to see women in underwear. Oh, you say, preacher, come on. I don't need to see that. Hello? Catalogs, magazines, all that. She filters all that stuff. The little inserts come in the paper, I don't look at them. You say, you know what Kohl's has to offer? Nope, because I don't want to see. You say, how do you buy things? I go into Kohl's and I go where I want to go and I stay away from that section. And I go where I... By the way, why would a guy be in that section anyway? Well, I'm buying something for my wife. Are you always that stupid? And the wife says, oh, honey, I understand. Are you that stupid? Pardon me. Huh? Your husband's on Victoria's Secret's website. And you say, oh, honey, that's so nice. You're getting something for me. You, ma'am, have you not thought ever? Okay, I'll move on. Feeble. We're weak. And if a man is a red-blooded American man and he really has red blood in his veins, he ought not see half-naked women. He can't handle it. I don't care who he is.
Oh, you just have a wicked mind.
No, I have a smart mind. And if you got your wife, you got your wife convinced. It's kind of like this new thing on the corner. Sit still, it'll be okay. You know, the Christian place, Christian center, and now we got nudity out there. Well, they're not showing much. They're showing too much. Pastor, I didn't know you had such a hairy chest. Can you see it? Can you imagine? People with their pastor swimming. I don't get it. I can't handle it. Well, don't go. I won't. Well, ma'am, I didn't realize you had such hairy legs. Can you imagine? And they're doing it. And everybody just says, and there's folks right now, you're bristling. Back of your hair. It's getting,
well, you shouldn't talk about that.
I am going to talk about it. It's wicked because our flesh can't handle it. How long can a man stare at a half-naked woman and not begin to think things?
Well, he's pure.
Yeah, I promise you this. I guarantee you that Jesus wouldn't do it. He would not do it. And he would not walk around with his shirt off in front of a bunch of people claiming to have good Christian fellowship. I need to move on. Well, I'm getting you ready to tear up carpet. What's your weakness? That's just a weakness. That's every man. I don't care who the man is. He's not going to look at that stuff. And by the way, it's women too. You're not going to look at half-naked men and be pure. It just ain't happening. It's not going to happen. Amen. I'll amen myself. What's your weakness? Do you like to know what's going on in people's lives? You know, are you the Facebook cruiser? That's what I call them, cruisers. They're cruising around looking for everything. I don't know how you have time to find out about everybody. You know, I just don't. And it can't be good for you.
Well, I like to know about people so I can pray for them.
I challenge you. Keep a journal of how often you pray for people because of your Facebook cruising. But it's a weakness. The flesh knows and will attack your weakness. Attacking, verse 18, they were feeble and thou was faint and weary. They're tired. Boy, your flesh, it is tough when you're tired. That's why this is such a dangerous time right now. Oh, is it ever dangerous? You know, David, when kings go forth to battle, what's the Bible say he did? He tarried in Jerusalem. Wonder why. Oh, well, I've been tearing out carpet. You know, I've been real busy with the kingdom and getting ready for vacation Bible school and getting ready for the fair ministry. And I know I'm supposed to go to battle, but I'm really tired. Who is that out on the roof? Right? Had he gone to battle, he'd have not gotten in trouble. And when we're tired, our flesh gets us in all kinds of trouble. When we're tired, we're tired. There's folks that are tired. Be careful. Be careful, Brother Chase, while the fair's going on. Be careful, Kathy. You get tired. Be careful, folks that work in the shepherd's ministry. Be careful, bus workers. Be careful. Be careful. Oh, the devil, you know, in the flesh, when we're tired. And notice here the attack. It says, and he feared not God. Your flesh does not care. Your flesh does not care how many casualties, does not care what it does to the cause of Christ. I have watched the flesh take so many down, not caring about the results at all. Doesn't matter how many lives are lost. I just want my way. That's the flesh. Doesn't matter how many lives are lost. Doesn't matter what happens to all the people. It's the flesh, and it's a relentless attack. It's a terrible attack. Be focused, folks, on your flesh. Number three is the faith. Back to Exodus chapter 17, and I'm just about done. I got about a half a page left. The faith. In Exodus 17, so Joshua did as Moses said to him and fought with Amalek. As Brother Dave said in the shepherds yesterday, there was Joshua, there was Moses, there was Aaron, there was Hur. And of course, there were all the soldiers fighting with Joshua. But the names that are given here, somebody just had to do what God said. And that's what Joshua did. That's exactly what Joshua did. Joshua fought. Amen. Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. Now, I'm going to tell you, folks, it's time you fight with the flesh. You don't just give in to the flesh. Most of Christianity today has given in to the flesh and what feels good, and if it feels good, do it, and a worldly, wicked philosophy that, hey, I just want to feel good. Amen. I got news for you. Christianity has never been that. Never has been that. Somebody said, preacher, you know when we take a stand about this issue with this discrimination, there are national groups that are going to come in and cause trouble. So be it. It's going to get uncomfortable. So be it. We've been uncomfortable for about the last 6 months. Amen. Fight your flesh. I know it'd be easy just to give in to the music of the world. I know it'd be easy just to give in to the fads of the world. Some have. I know. I understand. It'd be easy just to give in to all this junk that is being sold as Christianity. But I'm an old-fashioned, independent, fundamental, Bible-believing, radical nut Baptist preacher who says we must fight our flesh and not give in. And so Joshua, by faith, fights the battle. Don't just settle for the flesh life, the faith. Joshua fights. Moses and Aaron, the Bible says they went up on top of the mountain. And Moses, by faith, held up the rod. He held up the rod, and when he held up the rod, his army won. Joshua and his men won the battle. As long as he held up the rod, they won. When his arms got tired, they lost. When he held it up, they won. When he got tired, they lost. But he held it up by faith. Folks, listen to me. You say, well, how in the world did he ever figure? Because he saw that it worked. Do you understand what we're doing works? Preaching works. Bus ministry works. Soul winning works. Altar call works. It all works. It has worked. I got saved because somebody cared to give me the gospel and to give an altar call over and over and over and over and over. Oh, you know, the altar call, that doesn't work. Nobody's going forward. And there I sat, sweating. Can you hear him, Brother Chase? That'll never work. Look at that long-haired boy up there. He's not even paying attention. And there I sat, sweating. And every time the altar call was given, my heart raced. And I guarantee somebody was sitting there going, why is a preacher going so long? What is his problem? Altar call, what is he thinking? And there sat an unsaved teenager on his way to hell. And somebody had faith to just keep holding up that rod. Amen. The flesh says, we got to be the first to the restaurant. The flesh says, we got to get out of here and tear carpet. I doubt that our flesh wants to tear carpet. But by faith, we fight the flesh. Well, preacher, don't you know that it's cute nowadays to not have Sunday night church? It's okay, folks. I know what I'm saying. It's all right. Bible doesn't say you have to have Sunday night church, but this church does have Sunday night church. And so the Bible does say we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Amen? So we have it. Because I think it's cute to have it so that we can fight. Because it's just an extra little shot in the arm to keep going. Because you know what's going to happen tomorrow morning? Your flesh. It's going to start when you don't want to get up. Amen? And it's just going to go all day long. The faith. We just keep fighting. Amen? By faith. You say, I'm tired. So am I. But we just keep fighting. By the way, when you get tired, number four is the fellowship. That's why God told Aaron and Hur to go up there with him. Do you know? You know, it's interesting with Aaron and Hur. Do you understand that God did not tell them what to do? Everybody listen, please. I want you to listen carefully. God didn't tell Aaron and Hur what to do. You ever notice that? David pointed that out yesterday. I thought, how in the world did he get in my notes? But God did not tell them what to do. Now, average Baptist would have criticized him. Hey, what's wrong with you? Keep your hands up. Don't you see we're losing? That would be the average. They'd gather in a little corner somewhere and cut him down because what's wrong with Moses? I can't believe Moses is letting his arms go down. What in the world is wrong with him? By the way, you ought not criticize anybody who's fighting the flesh. Amen. It's a battle. And Moses, bless his little heart. I mean, he's holding up that rod and they're winning. But he gets, because you know why he gets tired? Because he does. He's human. And so what's the first thing they do? They get a big old rock for him to sit on. Isn't that nice? I love that. This is what it says. They bring him a rock to sit on. Here, Moses, have a rock. I love it. Hey, would it have been nicer to have a chair? Yeah, but he was probably glad for the rock. But I guarantee you one thing, anything's better than, I sure don't like the way he's doing that. What is wrong with him? He's lowering. You know, this is all his fault that all those people are dying down there. Yeah, I like, hey, Moses, listen, instead of us flapping our jaws, here's a rock you can sit on. Nobody told him what to do. Nobody said a word. God did not tell him what to do. They took a stone and they put it under him. And then, what'd they do? I love it. Here he is. Oh, I'm getting tired. And Aaron pops over on one arm, and Hur comes over on the other arm, and they hold up his arms. You know, the next time you criticize somebody who's struggling, instead of criticizing, give them a rock to sit on. And then, even better yet, grab hold of their arm and help them. Tell them, hey, I want to help you. Let me help you. Well, I see you're fleshly. What's your problem? How about this? Here, could I give you this stone to sit on? I want to help you. I want you to win. Because when you win, we win. Amen. Amen. The fellowship, God's people. That's why the Bible says we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And so much the more as you see the day approach. Yeah. Last thing is the fight. The fight. Boy, the Bible tells us so much. And I'm just going to give you these. Well, it's not that I do have one more point, but it's real quick. Romans 8, verse 13. Just real quick. Romans 8, verse 13. I know some people are just, you can't wait to get out there on that carpet. We had people signing the carpet. We had somebody sign the glue. I think that was David Potter. It's because he has a sticky personality. Romans 8, verse 13, for if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. That ought to be warning enough, shouldn't it? But if ye through the Spirit do mortify, there it is, mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. What's mortify? What's that? Just to be real blunt, and we're going to get kind of blunt. We do that sometimes at Vacation Bible School. To mortify would be bang. You got to be careful. Do you know? Never mind. We won't get into that. But kill it. How's that? That's a good illustration. Mortify the deeds of the body. Make it dead. Verse 13, for if you live after the flesh. Wait, I just read that. Chapter 13, verse 14. Romans chapter 13 and verse 14. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Put on Jesus. Amen. Tell people all the time, put on Jesus. Put on Jesus. Put on Jesus. Don't make a provision for the flesh. Put on Jesus. Turn off the computer. If it's getting to you. Put on Jesus. Turn off the TV. Put on Jesus. Amen. Galatians 5, verse 16. Galatians 5, verse 16. What do I do? This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Let's get in your Bible, get on your knees, walk with God day in, day out. Starve the flesh. That means you might have to stop some of the worldly association. You know? Starve the flesh. I had a lot of old friends when I got saved that we did a lot of wicked things. Oh, we had a lot. We thought that was so fun, some of that stuff. You know, it wasn't long. I started going to church. I started singing in the choir, started getting involved with the church. And all those friends said, what is wrong with you? I said, I don't know, but I'm sure having a good time. You ought to come visit our church. It wasn't long. You say it's hard to tell them, oh, just do right. They'll go away. Not that you want them to. You want them to come to church and get saved and get right. But the fact is, you got to starve that flesh. That means you got to listen to the right music. Do you understand? I know. We got a lot of folks, well, I don't see anything wrong with rock music or some of this stuff. I don't see anything wrong with it. And yet, we've got young people here. We've got older people here. We have folks here. You know, when they really mess up, guess where it always starts? I'm not going to ask anybody to raise their hand. There's people right here in this room right now. You know where it starts? Well, I was listening to the wrong music, preacher. I was listening to the wrong music. Uh-huh. Starve it. That means don't listen to it. Starve it. Don't look at the wrong magazines and things. And stay away from gossip and stay away from wicked things. Feed your spirit with the Word of God and being in church. And if, by the way, if people in church are trying to lead you off into a corner to gossip, get away. Amen. Fast. Run. Amen. And don't forget how easy it is to fall. Boy, every one of us. We've fallen. We say, Lot, you sure are a dummy. Yeah, well, if you point at him, you got three more pointing right back at you. How many of us have pitched our tent because we saw something and said, well, I'm not gonna do it, but I may look at it a while. Oh, and it's got us in trouble, right? Everybody in the room, you know. Don't forget how easy it is to fall. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. Lest he fall. Number one, I talked about the flesh. The Amalekites, good example if you ever want one. Number two, I talked about focus. How do they attack? How does my flesh affect me? The focus on that. And then the faith, just believing God, trusting God, canceling out what the flesh says that God can't meet your need. We are more than conquerors. And number four, the fellowship, help each other. We need to help each other. We need to encourage one another so we can have victory over the flesh. Number five, the fight. We just have to fight. And we have to be smart about our fight. Some of you, honestly, the junk you look at and watch and listen to and talk about, and some of that stuff, you're not going to walk, do anything for God while you have that stuff in your life. And number six is the finale, and that is Exodus 17, verse 14. And look what he says. He says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua." Watch what he said. "For I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven." Do you understand? Phyllis, you're going to like this. Do you understand? When we get to heaven, that trio that sang, wasn't that good? Oh, that's so good. About heaven? Huh? When we get to heaven, there's not going to be, we open up our scrapbooks or we look at our smartphones and we check out our photo scrapbook things and all that, whatever it's called in there, and we look at it, and there's not going to be any flesh. We turn on the heavenly TV, if there is such a thing, and there won't be any flesh. Won't be anything going after our flesh. If you're hungry, eat. Sugar, eat it. Snickers, eat it. Amen. Chocolate lake, jump in. Eat your way out. God, the spring of chocolate will fill it. I'm just saying there won't be any flesh. Won't be any temptation. If there was temptation, you wouldn't give in. It wouldn't be a temptation. Oh, my, I think one of the greatest things about heaven is we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And that means no more flesh. Till then, I'm going to be like Paul. I'm going to die daily to that flesh. Flesh, hush! Leave me alone. Holy Spirit, guide me in my day.